meeting, Thursday, February 11th. Roll call, Tina.
Denise?
Here.
Brenda?
Here.
Chelsea?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Chris?
Here.
Warren?
Here.
Paul?
Yes.
Daly?
Here.
Samantha?
Here.
Tom?
Okay. Thank you. On the staff side, Annie?
I'm here.
Mary?
Here.
Maura?
Here.
Ernie?
Here.
Charlotte?
I'm here.
Lenora?
I'm here.
Roxanne?
Yes.
Jackie?
I'm here.
Okay. In Sandpoint, we have Tina, Emil, and myself. So, we are ready to go. So, we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
Mayor, I move we adopt the agenda as sent out this afternoon by the clerk with the addition of item 11, old business, Cold Bay Clinic. And it, thank you.
Okay. Any other?
This is Chris. I second it.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Any other corrections or additions to the agenda? Hearing none. There's no objections. The agenda will stand as amended. Thank you. Laura, do you have any public comments?
None at this time. Thank you, Mayor Osterbach.
Thank you. Okay, before us, we have a presentation by Jennifer LeMay, Hazard Mitigation Planning Process. We covered this quite a bit during our work session with her. I think we got some good input to it. And Jennifer, you want to go ahead and do your presentation?
Sure, Mayor Osterbeck. I would just like to let everyone know that the Aleutians Eastboro Hazard Mitigation Plan is being updated. The plan was last adopted in 2010, and it was written a few years before that. And so this is a chance to get new information into the plan, or new and updated information. And the hazards that the state identifies for the Aleutians Eastboro are cryosphere, earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes, severe weather, fires. And we were talking earlier during the work session, and the Aleutians Eastboro views the top three hazards as earthquakes, tsunamis, and volcanoes. And then I've been speaking with the individual community points of contact and finding out what their concerns are. And Nelson Lagoon and False Pass have mentioned coastal erosion and some flooding. And thank you to those that have taken the hazard survey, which is on the borough's website. If you haven't taken it yet, please go to the borough's website and click on the link under news announcements and take it. The survey ends tomorrow. We're not going to shut it down, though. So but it would be nice to have everybody's answers, and we will tabulate the results on Monday, and then Laura will announce the winner of the gift card and follow through with who won, and everybody's responses are greatly appreciated. We've covered a lot of these topics in the workshop, and so I'm not going to go through them slide by slide in my presentation. I would just like to encourage any point of contact or residents or anyone that wants to contribute information to the plan to read through the slides and identify hazards that are a concern in your neighborhood, and don't assume that anyone has already offered information. I love to get duplicated information, but I would just really like any hazards that you've observed in your area and any potential mitigation actions that can be taken to prevent damage from occurring in the future. Warren had mentioned flooding in the Delta and erosion in the Delta Creek area in the workshop, and that was helpful to know. And Chris has been pretty vocal in other erosion on King Cove that should be addressed, and I've received feedback from others in other areas, but this is the last call for information for the plan. Tsunami studies have been prepared by the state for Akutan, King Cove, Sandpoint, Cold Bay, and False Pass from 2015 to 2019, and the results of those assessments will be included in the hazard mitigation plan. And the last slide in my presentation has the mitigation goals for this plan, and basically it's just to be prepared for all the natural hazards that could occur, which I know everyone is certainly familiar with, just because of where you live. Does anybody have any questions?
So, and Jennifer, I think during the workshop, we also talked about if people had concerns of, say, during a if we had tsunami alerts and we had shelter places to go, if people felt there was adequate emergency power supply or any of those type of things, they could also add that into their comments, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Assembly, do you have any other questions or comments for Jennifer? Okay. I think it was pretty well covered during the workshop. We got the information out there, so people that are listening in, if you haven't done so, it would be a good idea to take a look at it, fill it out. Help us out quite a bit. So with that, thank you very much, Jennifer, for coming on and doing this for us.
Thank you.
Okay. So now would be a good time, as we've been through the agenda during the workshop, if anybody feels like they have a conflict of interest on any of the agenda items before us. Okay. We need a motion and a second to adopt the minutes of January 14, 2021.
This is Brenda. Make a motion to adopt those minutes.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second those.
Denise, I'll second.
Thank you, Josie. Does anybody have any additions or corrections to the minute? OK, Okay, hearing none. If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. Thank you. Financial report for December. We need a motion and a second.
Denise, I'll make a motion.
Brenda, make that motion for the...
So Brenda made the motion. Josie second.
I believe that was Denise.
Pardon?
Oh, Denise.
Oh, it was Denise?
I think that was Denise that seconded. Yes.
You got it right. Tina has it. Annie.
Yes, Mayor, Sturback and Assembly. In the packet, it's the December 2020 financials. We are tracking along as we can. A few things to point out are that some of the salary line items, in particular for administration, is lower than usual because we've been offsetting those with CARES Act funds for the time that staff has spent on COVID-related items. The other item is just the raw fish tax. Based off of what is reported in December compared to the last 5 years, we're at about 51% for what we get at this time every year. And for overall, we've received approximately $1.46 million in revenue per year to date, and that's at 66% compared to the last 5 years. So I just wanted to point that out, that we are lower than the average at this time. Other than that, I have no additional comments. Are there any questions?
Questions for Annie or Roxanne? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. So before you, you have the December investment report. It's there for your preview. Annie, you have any comments on it?
Just one. Just for the permanent fund earnings, I checked the account on February 8th, and we were at $45,245,000. So it has increased since the period ending December 31. That's reflected in this report.
Okay, thank you. Any assembly comments on the investment report? Okay, hearing none. Item 8, we're down to the consent agenda. We need a motion and a second for three resolutions.
Motion, Warren.
Consent agenda. Thank you, Warren.
Denise, I'll second.
Thank you, Denise. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, back in the Assembly. So before you is Resolution 2130, 2131, and 2132. These are all in relation to the disposal of real property. How our code is currently written, we may exercise all rights and powers to acquire, hold, dispose of, or manage real property, both inside and outside the borough. The borough holds all real property in trust for the benefit of the public and shall hold, manage, and dispose of such property in a manner consistent with that trust. So basically for anything, which in this instance is regarding leases, we do need to get permission from the assembly on the method of disposal of the real property, whether it be by sealed bid, outcry, auction, lottery, first come, first serve, negotiation, or such other method as the assembly may provide in the resolution authorizing the disposal. So these three resolutions are about the method of disposal. Resolution 2130 authorizes the disposal of a portion of the Cold Bay Terminal building for the purpose of housing equipment related to air-to-ground communications, ground station support to commercial airlines and or weather data collection by sublease negotiation with interested parties. Resolution 2131 authorizes the disposal of a portion of the Cold Bay Terminal building for the purpose of providing vending machine concessions by sublease negotiation with a selected vendor. And Resolution 2132 authorizes the disposal of a portion of the Cold Bay School facility for temporary lodging for a military exercise one by sublease negotiation with the United States Air Force. So those are the three resolutions. As I said, these are just authorizing the method of disposal, which we'd like to do with by negotiation. Are there any questions?
Questions for Annie? Hearing none.
Annie, just put, also just for the public benefit, these are, as we discussed in the workshop, they're really leases. They're really leases, not disposal, I guess. But they, anyway, still, we need to make sure to mention that. In public. Thanks.
Paul, on the first part of your comments there, you kind of broke up pretty bad. You want to repeat that?
Yeah, I'm just repeating the comments in the workshop about it's really leasing, not disposal, the way of disposing, I suppose, but the sooner we can change that, we're getting the better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other comments on the consent agenda? Hearing none, questions?
Denise?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. So before us, we have one ordinance. Ordinance introduction of 2109, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a sublease within Cold Bay Terminal for air transportation services. So we need a motion to schedule for public hearing. And a second.
I make a motion that we open it up for public hearing.
This is Carol, I'll second it.
Chris and Carol, we need to go back on that. It's we need a motion to schedule, not to open it, but to schedule it. Say schedule it for at our next regular meeting for a public hearing.
Okay, I'm sorry, I misinterpreted you, yeah. Okay, I make a motion that we schedule it for public hearing at our next meeting.
And this is Carol, I'll second it.
Okay. And I'll take that as the second rescinded on the original motion and redid it. So. Okay. So, Annie?
Yes, Mayor Ospaka and Assembly. As Mayor Ospaka just mentioned, this is authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a sublease within the Cold Bay Terminal for Air Transportation Services. R, Inc., Incorporated, is interested in providing air-to-ground communications and ground station support to commercial airlines in Cold Bay. R, Inc.'s equipment was originally housed in the old Penn Air Raven building, but due to the bankruptcy and the power being turned off, they need to move locations. R, Inc. is interested in storing their equipment in the Cold Bay Terminal. The code provides that disposal of real property may be by sealed bid, outcry, lottery, first-come, first-served negotiation, or such other method as the Assembly may provide in the resolution authorizing the disposal. You just approved the consent agenda, which included Resolution 2130, so we are now authorized to dispose of this property via negotiation. And this ordinance does go through all the items within that will be included in the sublease. Are there any questions?
questions or comments, Patty?
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, and look at the website for RA. It's a pretty big company that I think they bought off Collins Radio and a bunch of other things. But do they get money from the FAA for the use of that equipment that's going to be moved?
Mayor Esterbach and Assemblymember Grunfeld, I do not know the answer to that question.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Anyone call over a question on the scheduling?
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Brenda? Brenda? Brenda, Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. We're down to item 10, resolutions. We have three resolutions before us. Annie, you want to walk us through those? Oh, I better do a motion first. Okay, so I need a motion and a second for Resolution 21-33, Assembly approving projects and initiatives identified on the Borough Strategic Plan.
This is Josie. So moved.
Thank you, Josie.
This is Chris.
This is Carol. I'll second it.
Thank you, Chris. Now, Annie, you can have it.
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, before you use Resolution 2133, approving the project and initiatives identified on the Borough Strategic Plan. The borough conducted a planning work session on December 10th, 2020 to help identify projects and initiatives that would be included on the borough's strategic plan. Assembly members and staff were in attendance and actively engaged in the conversations about the borough's role in community projects. The result of those conversations is the draft borough strategic plan from March 1, 2021 to February 28, 2022, which is presented with this resolution for your review and approval. So in here is a vision navigation chart that outlines each item that we discussed. It's broken out into initiatives and up to the bubbles. The bubbles do have project leads and are in the quarters, which helps us with our accountability and transparency throughout the year on these projects. That being said, plan is intended to be a living document and is subject to modifications by the project leads throughout the year. If the Assembly would like to add something, remove something, we can do that. And also the project leads also have those rights to move some things around within that track that they're responsible for to get the job completed. So with that, if there's any questions or comments on the plan itself, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie?
Mayor and Assembly, this is Daly. I have a question.
Go ahead, Daly.
Okay. I think it's okay if I were to print this out, like, and share it with the city and our council members. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Mayor Osterbach? Yeah, I think that's fine.
Go ahead, Annie.
Oh, go ahead.
Fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
that this is a public document.
Either print it out or even email it to them.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was okay.
Sure. Any other comments or questions? Question on a motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Bosey?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, before us, we need a motion and a second. We have Resolution 2134, allowing the Assembly authorizing the mayor to enter into a short-term sublease with the military for the use of the Cold Bay School by negotiation at less than fair market value.
So moved.
Motion, Warren.
Okay, we had Warren and Carol. Okay. Annie?
Yes, Mayor. After back before you is Resolution 2134. The United States Air Force is interested in entering into a short-term sublease with the borough for the Cold Bay School to conduct a military exercise in the spring of 2021. As you've heard already, the code provides that disposal of real property may be by sealed bids, outcry, auction, lottery, first come, first serve negotiation, or such other method as the Assembly may provide. And Resolution 2132 was just approved in the consent agenda authorizing the mayor to dispose of real property by negotiation. And for this instance, a draft of the short-term sublease is attached. Please note that administration is in the process of determining the rental rate, but are planning on including utilities, the cost to amend the sublease, or the lease with the state of Alaska, and other items in that rate. The borough has historically taken the position that in cases where the transfer of property is government to government, the disposal may be accomplished by resolution, which is this resolution before you. It is also the borough's position per the code that the transfer of government to government may be of less than fair market value. With that, is there any questions?
Questions for Annie?
Just a quick comment, if it's appropriate, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Thank you. The project is very good. Sooner the better to complete the project. However, I'm probably going to vote no because I think the bid might have been a better option. And much money for just engineering on a simple addition to that building that's defined as too small right now. Thank you.
Paul, I think you jumped ahead to Resolution 2135. We're on 2134. This is the short-term lease.
Oh, we're back at the school. Yeah, sorry, I'm ahead of you. I'll make those comments. I won't have to make them again for Resolution 2135. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on 2134 resolution? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Paul?
Yes, on 34. Thank you.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you, and we have one more. We need a motion and a second for Resolution 2135, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dowell to perform a feasibility study, 10% conceptual design, 35% design and construction, 35% design and construction manager general contract, contractor solicitation and selection in the amount not to exceed $100,000. Need a motion?
This is Denise. I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Denise.
This is Brenda.
I'll second that.
Brenda? Okay. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I direct assembly before you use Resolution 2135. Due to the COVID emergency and circumstances created by it, Cold Bay is now serving far greater passenger traffic than it has in recent memory. The existing terminal was not designed to accommodate social distancing and all other measures that should be taken during a viral outbreak. Due to the pandemic, Raven Air Group declared bankruptcy, and in response to this, Alaska Airlines began providing regularly scheduled service from Anchorage to Cold Bay, triggering the need for TSA. Grant Aviation continues to provide regularly scheduled service to the smaller sites, and the new Raven has also began operating out of the terminal facility. This has made Cold Bay a primary transit hub and main connection to the state's centralized hospital and epidemiological infrastructure in Anchorage, and the passenger counts have increased significantly. The borough is interested in expanding the facility to accommodate a hold room for passengers to increase additional space for social distancing. The borough has contacted Dow, who's under contract with the borough, to provide professional engineering, project management, and construction management services to assist the borough in proactively addressing the issue. Dow has submitted the attached scope of services and fee proposal to perform a feasibility study, 10% conceptual design, 35% design, and construction manager contractor, construction manager general contract solicitation and selection in an amount of $96,946. Borough administration has reviewed the proposal and recommends entering into contract with Dow with the understanding that the borough will issue a phased approach on the notice to proceed for the work. For instance, if the assembly approves this resolution, the borough would issue a notice to proceed for phase one, which includes the feasibility study 10% and 10% concept design. Pending the results of the study, the borough would then issue the notice to proceed for phase two, which includes completing the 35% design. Phase three may or may not be authorized depending on if the borough determines whether the project should be done with force account labor, which would be done in-house, or if we would go out and solicit for a general contractor. Phase four, and this is also included, that includes contingency funds for items that we did not anticipate in the scope of work. This proposal does not include a 65% design, signed construction drawings, a contractor input during this process, as well as obtaining the fire marshal permit and a State of Alaska building permit, which are required to do this work. Funds are available in the Cold Bay Airport Terminal Project Maintenance line item, and as well as the project contingency line item. And if it is determined that this project is feasible, the Assembly can appropriate Borough CARES Act funds for the costs outlined in this resolution and for construction costs of the facility. So with that, are there any questions or comments? Thank you.
Questions, comments for Annie? Paul?
Well, I just want to refer to my other comments. I think it's too much. I'd like to get it done. I think we can do it a lot deeper, and maybe we should have went to bed. Thank you.
Okay. You were kind of broke up, but I think you said you think the costs are too high and we should have went to bid. Is that what you said?
Yes, I support the project strongly. The sooner the better to make that terminal really usable. It's not so great right now. Thank you.
Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Warren?
Yes.
Dulcy?
Yes.
Brenda? Brenda?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Samantha? Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Hey. 7 yeas, 1 nay, motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We had one addition to our agenda under old business. The old has been added on by Assemblymember Grenell. So, Paul?
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I mentioned, the workshop, I was in Cold Bay. One day I looked at the lock where the clinic is going to, so I think there's a way around. We went out to bid, and bids weren't quite as low as we hoped for, but there was a lot of confusion, at least in my mind, about the fill that was supposed to either be brought in or used from somewhere in Colbert. Anyway, no one seemed to be able to figure out how that fit into the bid process when we first went to bid. So there's a solution, and I'll just make a motion, and we can, it might be the easiest way to see if we can move this along and get a clinic built this year. And I would move that we go out to bid again with the original bid document, excluding references to bringing fill in or moving fill from on site. That's at the end of the motion. Simple motion.
Okay. You want to repeat it one more time so Tina has it down? Right?
Yes, I move that we go out to bid immediately, well, soon, with the clinic bid again, but just removing the references to bringing in fill or moving fill from off-site onto site to complete the clinic. And if there was a second, Mr. Mayor, I could speak to my logic.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have a second to Paul's motion? Okay, so we have a motion to go out to bid, and the bid would exclude bringing in fill from off-site or moving fill locally on-site. I think that's correct. Motion by Assemblymember Grenell, but needs a second.
I'll second it, Warren.
I'll second that.
Okay, second by Warren. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. So, Paul, you want to explain?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate the second. When I was looking at it for an hour and took a lot of pictures, the lot that we're referring to, it looks like it's an acre. I don't know the exact number. But it's a little reduced. The level of the lot is down a little bit. However, the clinic is a small enough footprint. Fill can be moved around, I believe, in order to construct the clinic. And we can get started this year. We're running out of time. If we don't do it now, we won't have it this year. And I believe the bids will be substantially less after looking at them. And we've already got the bid documents ready to go. It isn't going to cost a lot to go out to bid. If something were to happen, maybe bids would be too high. That's fine, we could deal with that now, but I believe we can have a clinic this year by just fixing the fill portion of the bid documents. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. Maybe at this time, well, the Assembly, you have any comments at this time? If not, I was going to have Annie maybe explain where we are today.
This is Chris. I'd like Annie to explain, and I mean, if we're going to start changing, you know, what's already been engineered and stuff, I think we're going to be looking at opening up a big can of worms.
Other comments before I go to Annie?
Yeah, Mayor, this is Daly. I'm with Paul on that. I think there was too much confusion on the fill thing, and I think there's really a way to get around it by moving some ground around over here, and I don't think you're going to, you know, it's going to need that much with the fill that they had in the original deal there. That's my opinion.
Okay. Thank you. Others?
Well, isn't that what an engineer said is what we need?
Yeah, and we could have... Excuse me. We could have Annie kind of catch us up on where we are, you know, presently on it before we go to a vote on the motion, so people get, you know, so everybody's kind of comfortable at where we're at so far and where we might be going. So, Annie, you want to take a shot at this?
Sure. Mayor Osterhage and Assembly, so with the Colby Clinic, as you know, those bids came in and they were way over what we anticipated. We were unable to see the breakdown of the bids due to how we had bid the project, which was to the lowest bidder. So we don't exactly know what caused the increase. We do assume some of it was fill related. There were COVID costs that increased it because of the risk. Also, we have been told that steel prices and lumber costs and shipping have all increased as well. That being said, the fact that it was almost double the price, you know, I can't explain exactly why. So we pulled those bids. We are in the process right now of reassessing whether it be rebid with the current project, and we can ask the engineers. I don't feel comfortable making the decision without talking to them, if we can just remove the fill language or not. I don't have that expertise to make that decision right now. But we're looking at rebid in the current lot or if we move to a different location. There are some other locations within Cold Bay that the borough has ownership of that we could possibly move it to. But if we do that, then there's the potential to have to, like, readjust the design slightly and things like that. So I'm not opposed to this. I just err on the side of caution of just making a flat-out motion saying to remove that language without talking to the entities that did the design and the bid package.
Okay. Any other?
Mr. Mayor, this is Carol.
Go ahead, Carol.
I kind of agree with Annie. I don't know if it's in my best interest as an Assembly member to be going into contracts and changing stuff without somebody with some upper knowledge of what's going on over there comes to us and at least helps us. So at this time, I'm kind of uncomfortable going in and changing things. But that's just my view.
Okay. Appreciate that. Others?
Chris here.
Yeah, this is...
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I feel the same way as Carol and Annie, too. I mean, you know, I realize that we need to get this clinic done, but I think if we're just going to try to rush it, you know, I don't think anybody on the on the borough has any engineering background that I know of. I certainly don't. And, you know, if it does come down to where we maybe have to find another lot, I'd look at it that way. But, you know, if we go with what Paul's recommending and then we find out later down the road that something can't be done, then we're going over budget. We've got a bunch of change orders. Yeah, I think we're just opening up a big can of worms. I would like to just stay with talking to the engineers again.
Okay. Thank you. Brenda, I think?
Yes, this is Brenda again. This has been put into the plan. It's been reviewed and approved by engineers. I don't think any of us have, you know, the qualified, you know, master's level engineer degrees to be changing things in there that would best suit us. These are agreed upon things that have already been done and approved. And I think to go back and change that in a motion and here would be telling an engineer that they don't really know what they're doing, and that could have a tremendous setback, I think. So I really don't agree with it. Thank you.
Other comments?
Yeah, Warren here.
Go ahead, Warren.
Yeah, on the on these little, I think this actually was the construction company itself who went out and made this bid, thinking that he needed more gravel to support some of the foundation on the building. And I don't even think it went through an engineer, or maybe their construction company engineer, who wanted this change to buy a bunch of gravel from somebody. And if you have a whole acre there that the new bidder comes in and thinks that they don't have enough gravel there, I'm sure they're going to put it in their bid again. As far as going and thinking that we need an engineer to do this, it was the contractor himself who said they needed that. They placed it in their bid, and I think it was in, I don't know if it was in the lowest bid or not. So when we come in now, we come in with, we put it out to bid again, and then we say, go for it. And these bids come in three times more than what it was, saying that, oh, no, we need some gravel from Chignik or something. That's, it's up to that contractor to think that they need more gravel. But with somebody looking at it, and I know we're just sitting in our living rooms thinking of where this building is. To tell you the truth, I don't even know where this building is supposed to be in Cold Bay. I went through a few times, but I guess I never have asked. If we had a picture to show that where this is going to go and what this land looks like, and you've got a whole acre there, and the building is, I don't know, maybe 80 by 60 or something like that. I can't remember what the size of this building was. We had some of those plans in front of us, shoot from the hip here, tell the new bidder he doesn't need any more gravel, just make a longer foundation to reach down deeper into earth to shore the damn thing up. So there's no rocket science. Just anybody could go over there, but put some piling in there if we have to put piling in there or something. Instead of having to bring cement in, throw a couple of piling in the ground and support what I beam. Any way to make this cheaper. I know that thinking that we're going to get gravel from somewhere is just kind of absurd, really. That guy can't be savvy enough to put a good bid in. He shouldn't be bidding on it. That's all I have.
Thank you, Warren. Other assembly comments?
Yeah,
go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, if I just may add that if the motion passes, it doesn't preclude any. You would still talk to the engineers or architect and tweak the design to meet the assembly's wishes if the assembly passes it. So I don't think it's not taking any risk at all, but it enables us to get moving and get the well-needed clinic constructed in a timely fashion. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Annie, do you have anything to add?
No, not really anything other than what I've already voiced concerns with. I'm not necessarily opposed to going out to bid again. I just feel like I would like to talk to the engineers and others before making that decision.
you. Before I call a question, I'll add a couple comments into it. So from the last time we, you know, when we came up with the bids and sticker shock that we got from them, I have been working with administration on finding other avenues. We've looked at gravel sources, one that we didn't even know exists that's apparently right in Coal Bay. We spent some time looking at the other lot, and we're having an engineer look at them also, that could eliminate the requirement for all of this gravel that the bidders felt like they would need. So it may be, one choice may be to move the location of the new clinic. I think there's even, we've been looking at working maybe with the city over there to, because they're going to have to tear down the old clinic. I'm not sure that footprint will work for the new one. So that's something that we're looking at. You know, we're looking at everything all the way to modular type construction to bring the cost down and less time of people on the site doing the work. So there's been quite a bit of work that's been done so far, but that's kind of where we're sitting. So with that, unless there's other assembly comments, I'm going to call the question.
I don't quite understand what we're going to be calling the motion on, because now it sounds like Paul's kind of changing his thing and saying to talk to the engineer now. So I'm confused.
Well, Chris, there was somebody on there before you, and then when they talk, I'll answer you. So who was up?
This is Daly, Mayor.
Okay, Daly.
Yeah, well, when we talked about the engineers and stuff, is each bid that came in, is there like one engineer? This is just my question. One engineer that each bidder has their own engineer that looks at this, looks at everything before they do a bid. Is that right, or?
Annie?
Mayor Sturmbach and Assembly, I can't speak on behalf of what the contractors do when they bid it. I'm assuming that they have all their, you know, entities in their business to look at it, but I don't know if they have an engineer look at it.
Okay.
So my question again is still, so is there one engineer that, I mean, there's one engineer that said that this needs this much fill and this and that, is that, I'm confused too.
So when we go out to bid, there's bid specifications that are included in the bid package, and that outlines anything relating to what type of materials we want on the building, to the fill, to everything. So that information comes from the borough in the bid package. It doesn't say necessarily how much, so those contractors have to determine that stuff, which would be outlined in their line items, which we were not able to see. So we do have specifications in our bid when we go out, when it goes out to the public or out to the contractors.
So the borough had someone come in and look at this land and say that it needed this much fill before this goes out to the contractor.
I believe so. I'd have to relook at the bid, but that's typically how it works.
Bid,
I mean. Andy, that's what we had LCG do. Okay. Then, yes, our engineering firm did do that.
Okay, so then someone came here physically to Coal Bay and looked at that lot where the clinic's going to go and said, we're going to have to need this much fill.
Well, we had folks go out and do the survey of the facility, yes. And LCG went out and did a survey of the facility, of the area, of the land.
Okay. Okay, that was my question. Thanks.
Okay. So, Chris, on your question, it's more procedural. We do have a motion and a second on the floor. So to move from this point forward, we have to vote on the motion.
Mr. Mayor, if I may clarify what my motion is.
Paul, I can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. If the motion does pass, yeah, can you hear me now, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, that's a little better, I think.
Yeah, I barely hear you, too. However, if the motion passes, the staff still has to do what it feels comfortable doing in order to go to bid. And that's talking to the architect and drafting. We simply can't do all that. The staff would still have to draft the document to what they feel comfortable doing. The motion only tries to move the process along in order to get a clinic. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your clarification. Any other comments by the assembly?
Can we have the motion reread? Because Paul is breaking up so much, I can only tell maybe every other syllable.
Okay. So, Tina, you want to reread the motion? Do you have it?
I think that Paul moved to go out it immediately with Colbay Clinic, but removing references to bring an infill from off-site or moving to on
or local.
From off-site or local site.
Is that correct, Paul?
Yes, and of course, immediately is a relative term. The bureaucracy, the borough has to move accordingly. So you just have to interpret what immediately means, and that's what I think it means. It's, the staff has to review what it can in order to get out to bid. Thank you.
Does that answer your question? Brenda?
Yes, sir. And he talked, and also Tina, I can't hear her very well either, so I'm just not sure what this motion is.
Well, my gist of the motion is to go out to bid immediately, excluding bringing in fill or moving fill locally, is my understanding of it. And with that case, I know Paul's hard to understand on this phone connection, but so he's basically saying his interpretation of immediately might not be the same as ours, and that he's just looking for a way to move the process forward. And feels that if we take the wording out that addresses the fill, would help move it along quicker. That's my understanding.
So, Annie, how do you feel about that? Do you think that would do that, move it along faster, if that was taken out?
I don't know if it will or won't. To be honest, like I've said, I need to probably talk to the engineering firm to make a determination if that'll make a difference. Otherwise, I mean, to go out to bid is not, it takes time, but it's not, it could happen quickly. I just don't know about the fill language at this point.
So it may stretch out longer, in other words.
Go ahead, Chris. So if we go out to bid and we exclude the fill or try to use the fill that's around there and we get a bid in and the contractor comes out and all of a sudden says, oh, this isn't going to work. We need to get fill. We need to bring fill in. Who's that going to come back on or you know what, I don't know. It's just, it's scary to me.
Yeah. Well, I think if you go out to bid without a complete package, and saying that would mean that if we excluded the fill out of it, knowing that we could need up to 7,000 yards of fill, that would be an add-on to the contract, and usually when you do add-ons to contracts, it gets really expensive. So that would be my take of it.
I say we just go back out to bid again and see what happens with the fill in there. It could have been because of this COVID stuff, and a lot of that stuff is changing now. So, you know, and if we go without fill, who knows what contractors we could get, you know, unless we do some background checks on them. It could be some rinky-dink outfits, too.
True. Are there any more comments on the motion?
Yeah, Warren got one more comment.
Go ahead, Warren.
So I think the bringing the fill is kind of a sticky point of the whole project, so move to a different site or do the alternative one, two, or three on the site and see which one comes in the lowest without having to bring in a whole new island and set it down on the land. There's 7,000 yards. That's enough land to say it's a different area anyway. So we could just move it to another site if this site is not compatible to put a building on without having to bring in 7,000 yards of fill. Just move it to another site, try that bit out, and have somebody look at it first to make sure that we can actually put a building on it, because this site here obviously isn't going to work. That'll kind of be my but to get the project moving along, we'll to leave that gravel out of it and think that you can move it around, maybe that gravel's no damn good there either, so I just don't know. So move it to a different part of the community to erect this clinic. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Warren. You know, this project's been on the works for quite a few years now, and we do want to get this done as soon as possible and as reasonable as we can get it done. So when we went out to bid with this, I mean, this kind of floored everybody when the bids came back in. So, you know, we're trying to look at every which way we can and get this thing back on track and get it built. And I would like to see it built during this construction season upcoming. So, and I'm sure everybody else would. So, unless there's other comments, I'm going to go ahead and call a question.
Mr. Mayor, I just have one final comment, if I may, a short one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I can foresee that if this motion passes, the staff can review everything, including the option of other lots, and bring it to us for a final action at our March meeting, which still gives us probably time to do it this year. But we have a little bit of window yet. It's February, early February. And the bidders have all bid before, so they kind of know how to put a bid together fast. So I can see that we're probably not going to be able to take action until at least March anyway. So that's how I look at the time frame, but it would be up to the administration to figure it out. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Question on a motion.
Can we get a reclarification of what the motion is now? It sounds like it changed again.
No, motion did not change. You can't change the motion. The motion is in place with a second. There's been no amendments to it.
So the motion is that we put it out to bid with the fill removed from it.
Correct.
Okay.
All the questions.
Sir, Chris.
No.
Paul.
Yes.
Nancy?
No.
Brenda?
No.
Denise?
No.
Carol?
No.
Samantha?
No.
Daly?
Yes.
Okay, yeas, two, nays, five, and advisory members, one yay and one nay. Motion fails.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think that was a good discussion on that item, though. It brought out some of the concerns of where we are on this project and should give a heads up to administration on what we should be doing and looking at. So, and like I said, I think everybody's on the same page as far as we want a very good and we would really like to have it done this year. So we're going to continue on that basis. So with that, thank everybody for the time. We have one item under new business. We need a motion and a second to approve the 2021 advisory appointments, which there are three.
This is Josie. I'm
going to make a motion to approve the advisory board members. Thank you.
Well, motion is made by Josie, seconded by Brenda. Tina.
Okay, so this is the advisory appointments for the calendar year 2021. There shall be one advisory for each of the communities in the borough that are without an assembly member residing in their community. The term is 1 year beginning annual year, January 1st. The communities of Cold Bay, Falstaff, and Nelson Lagoon do not have an assembly member, so, and I submitted, sent out posting to get letters of interest from those communities, and I received those three, Cold Bay, Daly Shack, Falstaff, Tom Hollett, and Nelson Lagoon, Samantha McNeely. And, does anybody have any questions?
Questions for Tina? Okay, hearing none. Question on the motion?
Sorry, hold on, be patient. Kind of. Off my place.
We're on pause.
Brenda.
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Welcome back to the three of you. And we are down to reports and updates. So with that, we'll start off with Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, in the packet is my report, but I just wanted to give a brief CARES Act funding update. As you know, the borough received about $3,723,000 in CARES Act funds. As of January 31st, 2021, the borough's expended $2,684,000, which leaves a balance of $1,039 to be spent. $279,000 of these funds are appropriated to complete existing appropriations, and $759,000 available for reappropriation. I did include a breakdown of the expenditures in the packet for you. We are looking at different options to expend the remaining funds, which it includes but is not limited to expanding the Cold Bay Terminal, round two of the Emergency Assistance and Economic Stimulus Grant, another round of the nonprofit and civic organization program, and other items. I do plan on having something before the assembly, either in March or April, with recommendation, but I'm kind of waiting on the Cold Bay Terminal information so I can give you the best information that I have. Outside of that, we continue to hold meetings with the community leaders and Eastern Aleutian tribes in the school district to touch base on what the revolving around COVID-19. We're also attending AML meetings, State of Alaska Emergency Briefing Echoes, and others throughout this time. Also, the administration extended the COVID-19 borough employee policy. The policy went into effect on February 1 and will remain until March 31st. Now, this can be amended throughout that time, but if needed. Any questions on CARES Act or COVID? Okay. Yes, go ahead.
So how much longer do we have to spend that the rest of the money again? I did miss that.
December 31st, 2021. Is now the new deadline.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there another question?
Annie, while you're on hold, I just thought I'd mention that the Canary workers are scheduled to get COVID next week, I think. It was the paper today. And I think if you have two shots, no more quarantine, CDC says. So I thought I'd mention, probably a little out of order, with what your intent is, you're on funding, but just thought I'd mention that early. Thank you.
No, that's great. Thank you. Yes, the quarantine policies and everything seems to be changing pretty rapidly, so thank you for stating that. As far as the Cold Bay Terminal goes, we did get the new cores and locks installed on January 27th, so we are now in compliance with TSA requirements, and so that's fantastic news. Also, King Cove Road update, just briefly, that the state, the opponents filed their answering brief on January 15th, 2021, and the court sent an order the day I wrote this, so February 3rd, that they were extending the filing deadlines for the Department of Justice, State of Alaska, and our group as well to March 8th. So now we anticipate the timeline for the court to be scheduling oral argument later in 2021, most likely in the summer rather than in the spring, and that will probably be done virtually. Other than that, just busy doing day-to-day activities and leases and the like. So with that, are there any questions? All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Mary, you're up.
Thank you, Mayor and Assembly. So my report is in the packet. It's pretty short this month. I do have a short update on the clinic project in there, in that we did have some discussions with the City of Cold Bay this last month, kind of to go over many of the things that the Assembly actually brought up today. So I do appreciate that feedback. So we are moving forward. I will definitely take all of the discussion that we had today into consideration and see how we can move forward on that. We also mentioned strategic plan as you approved this at this meeting, the resolution approving the plan for the next year. We did have some productive conversations with staff in the last month to put together that planning document that you approved today. I do have several projects coming up, so I'm excited to report on those to you as they come up throughout the year. And I'm looking forward to working with you all on that. Other than that, Annie really has briefed all of you on the projects I've been assisting with this last month, so I won't repeat what she's already said, but if you have any specific questions for me, I'd be happy to take them. Thanks.
Questions for Mary?
Mary, one quick question. I don't know if you got the short straw, but your name is on the COD tagging information box. Why are you doing natural resource things? I know there's a good reason.
Yeah, thanks, Assemblymember Grandhall. I'm just assisting the Natural Resource Department in distributing the RFP documentation to people that request it and then collecting the responses we get. So I'm just helping them with some of the administrative oversight of that process.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. My report is in the packet for your review. A couple of in-the-loop newsletters that have been sent out regarding the borough's hazard mitigation planning process and the survey to gather more feedback, as Jennifer LeMay mentioned earlier, have gone out. This was also posted to the borough's website and on Facebook. So if you haven't already responded to the survey, please consider doing so to provide your input. The deadline is tomorrow, as she mentioned, February 12th. Another story about the borough's food distribution program was also included in last month's newsletter. That included information and quotes from staff members, volunteers, and community leaders who helped to distribute the meat boxes and the gift cards that were provided to household members within the borough over the holidays. There was a fish news that went out. This was just discussed briefly earlier about the soliciting proposals to charter a qualified fishing vessel with deck rigging capabilities for the cod tagging study. Those proposals are due tomorrow at noon. And on January 26th, a fish news was sent out that was written by Ernie Weiss regarding a special meeting held by the Board of Fisheries that discussed the rescheduling of meetings for the upcoming meeting cycle due to COVID-19 concerns. Last week, I completed some additional edits for the discussion paper and the online petition language regarding the Alaska Marine Highway Systems Ferry Service as part of the government and policy advocacy section of the strategic plan. I've discussed this in previous meetings. So that is something that I continue to work on, and I'm waiting to get some feedback from administration. Another project, I'm in the process of drafting an RFP to solicit quotes from website designers regarding design updates for the borough's website to improve navigation and modernize the website. This is Section 6.4 of the borough's strategic plan. One last item that I'd like to mention. Yesterday, I attended a meeting organized by AML, and this was hosted by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. It focused on a program to help Alaskans who are struggling to pay their rent and utility bills due to COVID-19, and details about how they can pre-register for a new program that will provide relief during the pandemic. That information was posted on the borough's Facebook page, and we'll provide additional details as they become available. Those are some of the highlights. Comments, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Questions? Okay. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report is also in the packet. Just to kind of summarize, maybe add a little context, I start off with talking about the Board of Fisheries. They made a decision to not only continue their board cycle as scheduled, and we're on the schedule for following February for salmon and then October for this coming October for cod. Proposals are due now in May, but they're also going to try to fit in the meetings that were postponed from this year. I was surprised a lot of the public comment before the Joint Board of Fish and Game Committee was to just move all the cycles forward. There was comments in front of the special Board of Fish meeting to do the opposite, go forward, and that's what they did. Contrary to department, there is not enough funding for that. So So the legislature will have to come up with some extra money. In the meantime, we are preparing. The assembly set a course with a work group process for our last Board of Fish meeting, February 2019, and everybody thought that was well done, and we're going to try to emulate that, but especially focusing on advisory committees and helping that. That's a special committee within the board process, and we're going to try to amplify those. I can talk about that a little bit later. It's a Board of Fish year, so my stress level has gone up significantly. The council just finished their meeting yesterday, and I can talk about some of the things I mentioned there. The Halibut Commission set their limits last month. Area 3B, which includes King Cove, False Pass, Sandpoint, stayed constant, but that was the only area that raised the limits last year. Area 4A, which includes Acutan and Dutch Harbor, went up significantly to $2.05 million. That's good. I want to spend a little time on the Alaska Marine Highway section. We did go to the summer schedule teleconference. It went well. Jordan, Laura, and I all advocated for prioritized deck space on the Aleutian chain trips. If you've looked at the proposed schedule, there's one chain trip each month, May through September, scheduled. And then I put some Tustamina updates. They finished their federally funded project at the Seward Shipyard, amenities, fixing the amenities. There's a couple of federal projects. There's a bigger, larger project of millions of dollars for major upgrades. That's ongoing as well. It looks like the annual state overhaul is at the Seward Shipyard, so apologies for that. I had said Ketchikan. They're hopeful it's going to return to service April 15th. I attended the Southeast Conference summit today and heard Captain Falvey talk about this. They are looking for further federally funded upgrades. And then the replacement vessel. They're at 60% complete on the redesign. They had to redesign to comply with some regulation changes. They did get an extra $8.2 million for the redesign. One of the major problems with the design is the Solus, which is that part on the top that lets in the sun, and either Solus or non-Solus, or if you have an enhanced Solus, that gets into more money. So that's one of the major contemplations in the redesign. It is going to be wider for stability reasons. The next part of the design work, they need to be in partnership with the shipyard moving forward. And it sounds like there's going to be an MTAB, the Marine Transportation Advisory Board, meeting next month. On the back second page of my report, there's a link to the limited entry white paper, if you're interested in that. Then I have a couple boxes. One is looking at legislation or other items I've been kind of following. Representative Louise Stutz has a bunch of interesting to the Natural Resources Department bills. Who knows how fast any of those things move forward. I put a link to the executive order on climate crisis, which includes a proposal that they call 30 by 30, which is to say the president would like to conserve 30% of all lands and waters of the United States by 2030, 30% by 2030. It's interesting. Who knows how that'll go. And then on upcoming meetings, I just wanted to highlight there's a national fisherman webinar, Alaska Salmon in a Warming Global, I don't have it in front of me, Opportunity and Transition. It's easy to get to. It's free. You have to register for it. It's a week from today at noon. And I can answer any questions. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie?
Ernie, I see there's a new appointment to the Limited Entry Commission. I don't know if you got that.
memo yet, but Melton Smith.
Thanks, Paul. I didn't see that.
Okay. Any other comments for Ernie or questions? All right. Charlotte.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. I have my report in the packet for you. I apologize. It's a little bit short. I was a little strapped on time last week, but it's probably for the best. I like to talk too much anyway. So just to start with EM, I did hold the regular preseason meeting before the season started on the 21st of January. I was in a bit of a rush when I wrote this report. I normally would provide links to all of the documents that I put together, and I completely forgot to put them in, so I apologize. But I did hold a presentation to go over some of the major ESP changes from 2020 to 2021. We did have to go through NOAA's general counsel to get some of those through, but it wasn't a problem. Everything was approved. So we went over that with the fleet, some of the best practices, and the meeting was fairly well attended. We created a YouTube training for the fleet to use e-log, which is something that we rolled out for 2021, which is really exciting. They no longer have to use paper logbooks, which were kind of a pain to use, especially under COVID. So we put together some different trainings, how to use it, how to install it on the shipboard, stuff like that. And fishing was expected to begin on the 5th, so we hopefully will start reviewing some of the A-season pollock data shortly, not from 610, but from some of the Western Gulf vessels that went over to Kodiak. So we'll be getting that probably in the next couple weeks. Moving on to the Fishery Science Center cod tagging project, so that's been my main focus the last few weeks. We were awarded the funds from the Alaska Fishery Science Center to do this project in March, but of course we got very late notice for that, which didn't leave us a lot of time to get all of the work done. So I've been working with the Science Center to pull together sort of the game plan for how to get that project going in March. We put together an RFP. Like Laura mentioned, it went out in a lot of different sources, and applications for that are due tomorrow at noon. That is for the vessel charter that will be taking us out to do the tagging work. We will be doing, the borough will be responsible for the cost and contracting of the vessel charter, which is going to be up to 10 days. We expect it to be a minimum of 6 days to get the work done. Not exceeding $45,000 in total, including my time and travel. The Natural Resources Department, like I said, we put together that vessel charter RFP, and we will be working with the borough's administration and mayor to select a vessel, hopefully in the next few days or next week at the latest. And then I will be headed out to do field work starting March 5th. So I will be in Sandpoint for most of March doing that field work. For mariculture, we are kind of moving along very slowly with this. We're currently awaiting some information from the DNR before we can finalize the bond paperwork and insurance requirements to fulfill the lease. But in the meantime, I'm going to prepare some stuff to work on while I'm in Sandpoint. And getting together gear lists, kind of moving ahead as if the lease is going to be finalized soon. And my final point about the Fisherman's Data Portal, so that project is moving along really well. Like I said, we had a trawl EM meeting with the fleet, and that's where we rolled out the data portal. We got a lot of really good feedback from the fishermen about its practical use and some logistics and how we think that's going to go. So as soon as we start getting some data in from Pollock, we'll be able to start digging into the data portal and seeing how it's working, figuring out some of the kinks, and kind of moving on to the next step. So with that, I think that wraps it up, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Questions for Charlotte?
Mr. Mayor, while we're on fishery things, there's one other quick item that came up was Coast Guard requirement for masks on the crew on fishing boats. So I don't know how we're going to respond to that or comment on that, but I'm sure you can figure it out. Everybody's going to be kind of worried about it a little bit. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that. Where did you see that? Is it an article or?
Yeah, it was UFA links have it also.
Okay. We could check into that. Thank you. Charlotte, before I let you go, I seen in the last Journal of Commerce, there was an article in the Kodiak area where there is currently a oyster. I don't know if you call that, yeah, mariculture operation. I guess that's being developed. It was pretty interesting. It's good to see that more of this is expanding, so something else we might want to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. That was Eric O'Brien, and I was actually just in a meeting with him yesterday and got that same article from Tina. So I do think it's really exciting. He's going to be speaking at Swampsea at the upcoming meeting. So if anybody's interested, definitely tune into his talk, because I know he's really trying to make that happen out in Kodiak. So anyway, thanks.
Yeah, sounded pretty good. I think he's looking at his little farm or whatever you want to call it. It'll produce something like 4 million oysters. So I don't know how much lemon juice that takes, but probably a lot. Okay. Thank you. And Emil.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. Like Annie said, just finished up this core locks out there in Cold Bay Terminal. Finally, getting everything going there with Kurt. And had to do some boiler repair work. Some of the stuff starting to show a little wear and tear, but keeping up on that, keeping everything warm and going. There we got pumps just arrived here in Sandpoint and then getting ready to fit those before I head over there and make sure I have all the parts and everything so that I could redo all those pumps over there in False Pass. They're getting old and they're done with, so that's moving forward with that. And then, of course, Long is under contract with me going out to Accutan, hopefully beginning of March, if we get to get in over there, and if COVID, whatever, takes care of and take all the protocols and everything to get in and get those pumps up and going. That have been down for a while now, and we've just been on that reserve system over there. And keeping up with the work orders with the school district, helping them out with whatever needs to be done there so that we don't get behind and keep our standing with the state with our funding for the grant that we put in for the Sandpoint School here. So just keeping things going and getting into conversations here with Mary and Annie on the and John with the strategic bubbles and getting going and organized with that. We're looking at trying to get new locks and furnaces up and going out there in that Accutan hangar along with we'll be getting that new generator out there and either a new fuel source for that helicopter operations out there as well. So just got door hardware being able to get on because they're just showing their age. They haven't been done, and they're out in the elements, all the exterior doors, and the hardware anyways, and keeping up on everything, snow removal. And my upcoming project's more or less going to be the King Cove School this summer. Of course, organizing with the Cold Bay Clinic that goes forward and the King Cove office repaint, get in some fresh paint in there and hopefully get a couple nice days for about a week. Good, nice weather would be nice to get that reprimed and painted and resealed back up so that back and looks good again, and then, of course, that terminal addition. So I'll be really involved with that, whether we go out to bid on that or if I do it and get crews to go on and do it. So looks like we've got a good summer planned out for work here. So, and you know, any questions? Answer.
Okay. Thank you, Emil. Questions for Emil? Okay. Before we move to assembly comments, just in case assembly hasn't heard, so Representative Stute, who's a Republican out of Kodiak, was elected Speaker of the House today, so they are organized and should be getting on with the work at hand in Juneau, and I'm glad to see her as Speaker. She's somebody that we work well together with, so look forward to that. Assembly comment.
Mr. Mayor, this is Carol.
Carol, go ahead.
And I probably should have directed this to Ernie, but I've had numerous phone calls from people wondering where this money is that the state gave the fish and game to, like COVID money or CARES money or whatever, and everybody else in the whole state has paid and used their CARES Act money, and this money that the fish and game was given is still, nobody seems to know where it's at and what they're doing. So, Ernie, maybe you can make a couple phone calls and see if you can see where it's at. I mean, people are like, everybody else gets paid off except the fishermen. So that's one question. Second question is, Paul, you're there. How about this disaster money? Where are they at on that? Does anybody know? That was two questions I had from guys. So, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Did you get that, Ernie?
Yeah, I will follow up. I haven't seen any progress yet either. So thank you, Carol. I will get back through Tina, probably.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything or can't seem to find out anything either, so I don't know. But the CARES Act money should have at least been, I mean, it's been there for a long time. You would think that they would have, you know, figured out something with it.
Okay. Other questions?
Mayor and Assembly, this is Daly. You hear me okay?
Go ahead, Daly.
Okay, couple questions for Colby. Colby wants to know if next year you guys will be, if we'll be getting the community education support grant again. We're hoping so, because right now we have, right now we have 11 kids in Colby. Five are school age right at this time, and six are under five. So we're just hoping to work towards, you know, getting another school in Colby, and that was one of their questions, you know, to getting a building for the kids for school was one question they wanted me to ask. And then also the church is looking for a building to have church in, and they were wondering about partnering on the school building somehow in the future, but just a question. Okay.
Okay, thank you. So as far as the grant goes, you know, when time comes when we're accepting grants, I'm sure the city of Cold Bay will submit that, and you should probably also have a letter submitted on your inquiry about the church building and the school. Because I don't think it's something that anybody can answer right now. Okay. Other assembly comments?
Thank you.
You bet. Okay. Hearing none. Laura, do you have any written public comments?
No, I do not at this time. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. So that kind of ends our agenda. So our next meeting will be March 12th, I believe, second Thursday. second Thursday of March. So with that, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion, Mrs. Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Good morning. Everybody have a good day.